Amen. You may be seated. If you're here today, it's good to see you. If you are online, then welcome as well. We'd love to see you. So if you want to visit in person, then do that if you can. my name is Michael. I'm the pastor here. And today, we will be in our series, Last Words. And whether you find yourself here today, and it's been a good week or a bad week, whether you lost your glasses or you played golf for the first time, I'm glad that... It's you bring all those experiences to the table. You know, we're one family of faith, but we certainly come from a variety of backgrounds and spaces. And this is the only place in the world, I really believe this, the only place in the world where there's so many different people, different backgrounds, different types, different settings, come to one place, united under one umbrella of knowing God. And so with that, we'll jump into the text today. Hopefully, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, there's one in the little chair back in front of you. You can pull that out. It's our gift to you if you don't have one today. We'll be in 2 Chronicles 24, 15 through 24. And the title today is May the Lord See and Avenge. And this is from the perspective of Zechariah. He was a prophet during the time of the kings. And we'll kind of we'll go and look at some of the experience of those prophets. Zechariah's father, who had a long legacy, and Zechariah, who had a very short legacy, but he had one that I think can inform us pretty well today of maybe where we're at and where we're going, and ask us some important questions. And so the phrase I want you to remember is settling the bill. this is one of the things that I think the world is the most confused about when it comes to God. Now, when we think about settling the bill, you might think, when our family's out to dinner, who's normally going to do that? You know, of course, all the kids. Thank you. The lights came on. they're here. when you're out with your family, who usually settles the bill? Mom, dad, right? So the kids, they're not wondering, oh no, when the waiter comes, who's going to settle the bill? No, they're looking, mom and dad, you're going to take care of that, right? That's pretty standard practice. So maybe when you're out with a friend or maybe another family member, somebody out to eat, and you haven't discussed that, there's going to be that moment where the waiter, the waitress is going to come and they're going to go together or separate. And if you haven't decided that, it can be awkward. Like, I don't know. You're going to get it. I'm going to get it this time. Or are we just separating? You're going to do a split check. And I think that when we think about those scenarios, the world, many times when they think about Christianity, expects God to just always pick up the tab no matter what, right? And that there's no consequences, that there's no results of the bad choices that we make. And when they come to the text, maybe if you don't have a lot of experience in church, you haven't read your Bible a lot, and we look at the Old Testament, we go, man, God was upset, and like everything they did, anytime they did anything wrong, he was like, all right, you know, you guys are going to have to, you know, pay for this. There's going to have to be an account for this. And you get to the New Testament, and you're like, wait a second, what happened? Like, it seems like there's, you know, more joy and happiness and, you know, and grace. Well, Jesus came and he covered all of that for us. Any mistakes, anything past, present, future that we've done, but it doesn't mean there's not a consequence for the choices that we make presently. And then also in the future, many times I'll talk with people and they'll have this perspective either, well, I can't be saved. I can't ever know God because of what I've done. Or they'll say, well, man, I'm glad that Jesus died on the cross for me. So now I can live however I want and he'll take care of it no matter what. There's always an account. And so we need to consider where we're at. And I think what Zechariah says to God's people here in the Old Testament and 2 Chronicles will really help us today understand, how does God settle that bill? Do we want to be in the state of limbo right now, being under the new covenant or under grace, going like, am I really following God? Am I really dedicated to him? Because that merits me a place in heaven when I die. If I'm not, then maybe I need to look at this account, what Zechariah was saying, and maybe I need to change a few things, okay? So go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 24, 15 through 24. So we'll be looking at a time period where Israel's in a very precarious place. Now, if you look towards the beginning of 2 Chronicles, there's a lot of really good stuff happening. In fact, if you look through up to chapter 7, Solomon, who is comes after David, his son, King David's son, he gets to build the temple, and it's really a very prosperous time for God's people. And if you look to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 through 22, there's a warning there that God gives to his people. Like, everything's gone really well, but he's like, hey, remember not to forsake the Lord. Don't abandon the Lord. And then interestingly enough, we come to this text today in chapter 24, and that's exactly where the people find themselves. And there's going to be a consequence for that that will lead them back eventually to repentance, to following God. But they've got to walk through some things to understand how they got to that place. And so here's the first fill in the blank, a changed influence. Now, there, along with the kings, there were Old Testament prophets who were there to kind of help guide the people. They had the law, but they didn't have the Spirit of God living inside of them. So the priest would be there to kind of help them out. He'd say, hey, here's the direction we should go. Here's what God is saying. You would get a word from the Lord being filled with the Spirit. And there was a really special prophet priest who was serving a variety of kings. His name was Jehoiada. And I want to read this and just kind of talk about what his role was and then how the people kind of just stepped away from following God. So we go to verse 15 and it says, but Jehoiada grew old and full of days and died. He was 130 years old at his death. Can you imagine being 130 years old? Jehoiada, he did a lot of really good stuff for God's people. So he was a primary spiritual influence for God's people. He was in existence and serving God's people for six kingly reigns. Now, go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Guess who was the priest? Who was the prophet? Who was speaking to the people? Jehoiada was. All the way back in chapter 7. And you go six kingly reigns later, and we're going to figure out what happens when what you might consider today, we'd call him an influencer. He was the great, one of the greatest influencers of the kings during this time. And he steps away, not because he wants to, probably because he has to. You know, nobody lives forever. And so after this, there's going to be someone who's going to take up the mantle. He's going to take over and lead. And Matthew Henry says this about this verse as we get started. He says, Jehoiada finished his course with honor, but the little religion that Joash had was all buried in his grave. And after his death, both king and kingdom miserably degenerated. So Joash was a king who, he did some good things for the Lord, but as soon as this primary influencer, it's almost like, you know, if they had phones back then, he would have been like checking his Twitter and his Instagram, his Facebook, and be like, all right, well, what did Jehoiada say today? All right, now we need to do that. And then he's like, oh no, Jehoiada died. There's nobody else telling us what we should do. I wonder what we should do. Well, he starts to listen to some other people, and it reminded me of something that I heard, I think it was last week, there was a World War II veteran that was being interviewed, and there's not a whole lot of those around, so they say something, you want to listen to it. And he said this when asked about the present state of our country. He said, I don't even recognize America anymore. What we fought for, what men died for, it seems like a distant memory. And as you look at Israel's history, it seems like they're in a very similar place. They're at this precipice of, like, why do we really believe what we believe? Why are we doing this? You know, Jehoiada said this for so many years. So why are we going to continue to do this? Well, here's the slippery slope that he's on, and here's where he's leading. In verse 16, it says, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel and toward God and his house. So Jehoiada retires due to his death. He didn't retire and go off to Florida, right, and get a nice place. He's serving the Lord until he's 130, but he's buried in a place of honor. And this didn't happen, by the way. So this guy, you could tell who he was, six kingly reigns. He served God's people faithfully, and they bury him with the kings. But that just didn't happen, right? So he was an incredible influencer for God's people. But then they turn their focus, and we see this in the second fill in the blank with changed worship. So there's this changed influence, right? And maybe nothing happens at first. Maybe you go, okay, we're going to keep doing what we, you know, the same old, whatever we've been doing before. But then the people go, well, if we've lost this influence, what are we going to do now? Who are we going to listen to? Well, it says in verse 17, now after the death of Jehoiada, the princes of Judah came and paid homage to the king, and the king listened to them. So there's an opportunity to manipulate this weak leader. He's checking things. Who should I listen to? Oh, there's all these other guys. They say things I like to hear. They say they like me. Okay, well, now what should we do? Well, things begin to change, and evil influence infiltrates. And so King Joash started worshiping idols as soon as Jehoiada exits the picture. Now, is that a picture of somebody who's really dedicated to the Lord? Somebody who, when they lose an influencer in their life, there's so many of them out there today, right? When they lose an influencer, when somebody turns out to not, you know, to be gone, or maybe not to be the person they thought they were, do they fall apart? Well, that shouldn't be us as believers. In verse 18, it says, and they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and serve the ashram and the idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt of theirs. That's the same word, this word. It says, and they abandon the house of the Lord. It's the same word you'll see back in the beginning of 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. The Lord says, don't forsake the Lord. Don't abandon him. Because what happens? Well, we lose sight of the Lord. Things tend to change for us. Now, you know, when we think about this, again, we come from this like, okay, well, that's what the Old Testament says. What about the New Testament under grace? What does this look like for us? Well, I've said this before, but when we read these accounts, I think we go like, oh, yeah, that was, I mean, man, they should change what they were doing, and yeah, something else should happen there. But we kind of distance ourselves from these individuals, from these characters, these stories like we've talked about. They're not just good for a movie. They're things that have actually happened, and they're there to remind us of just how badly things can go. And many of us will think, well, you know, but I can say that I'm a Christian, and then as long as things go well, then God's probably fine, right? He's probably fine with me. Do we want to get to that point where we're like, you know, we're thinking about our last words, that's the series, right? And we're maybe just on the precipice or just before we step into eternity and having to wonder, like, was I really dedicated to the Lord? I think Israel's story here will show us a lot of this progression of how they ended up in the place that they did. And it's the same thing spiritually for us. Like we can look at this and go like, well, nothing's happening to me. God hasn't removed his blessing, right? But if we've lost sight of the Lord in our lives, then I'm not sure that's much of a life to live, right? So they abandon the Lord. But God always settles the bill, right? And we don't want to be people who figure out if the bill's settled when we're standing before God, right? God, was I really dedicated to you? And we need to know that before we step into eternity. And God's people, they were on this course that was going to lead them away from the Lord. In verse 19, we see that pride ruins the situation. In 19, it says, yet he sent prophets among them to bring them back to the Lord. These testified against them, but they would not pay attention. You know, most of the story of the priests and the prophets in the Old Testament wasn't a fun one. It wasn't probably a job you would have gone, I think I want to do that. Because a large majority of the time, what did the people do? They're like, that's nice. Thank you for telling us that. Now, if it makes us too angry, we're going to get rid of you. Or if we don't like what you're saying, you know, just, you know, can you stay in your lane? You do your own thing. Or they responded violently, and that's what the people did here. So John Cassian, who is a church father, said this. He said, he who is puffed up with swelling pride is given over to most shameful confusion and deluded by it. Have you ever talked to somebody who thinks they know everything about everything? It's hard to gain wisdom, right? It's hard to grow in instruction. It's hard to become wise, right? If we think we know everything, which we don't. And this is where the people find themselves. It says, these testified against them, but they would not pay attention. And I hope we'd not be in this place where, again, you know, we looked at this changed influence and this changed worship. What if someone in our lives, who hopefully we've given that authority to be a mentor or friend, or confidant, someone who maybe can speak into our lives, even if we don't ask them to. Has that ever happened to you? When someone's like, hey, you know, I saw this thing, and it just seems like maybe that's kind of pulling you away from the Lord, or it seems like maybe you're worshiping this instead of God. And we need those people in our lives, right? But what's like the knee-jerk reaction? Boot them out of our life, right? You know, we kick them out of there instead of going like, man, I thank you. I really needed that. And maybe it's not the thing that we wanted to hear, but it might be the thing that we needed to, right? And so they didn't listen. They worshiped idols. They loved themselves more than God. They thought they knew better. And we come to the third fill-in-the-blank, changed hearts. This new priest, the son of Jehoiada, Zechariah, he enters the scene. The people have become completely wicked, and they needed a priest's word. They needed an instruction. Their hearts were cold towards God. If they weren't going to listen to any other spiritual influence, maybe the son of one of the greatest influencer priests in Israel's history, six kingly reigns. This guy was with Solomon. And he's like, well, I guess we'll see. Verse 20 says, then the Spirit of God clothed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, thus says God, why do you break commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you've forsaken the Lord, he's forsaken you. It's a desperate message of warning from Zechariah to the people. Now, from what we see before, they were already worshiping everything else. They were worshiping the idols. It wasn't like they got to this point and they're like, Zachariah, what happened? What are you talking about? They said, we don't want to hear that. We don't need to hear that. We don't care. The king doesn't care. The people don't care. They were worshiping other things. And then what happened? Their hearts were changed completely. They stopped listening to those who had influence over them, who loved the Lord and wanted to pursue him. And what was the result? Well, Zechariah says it here. He spells it out as plain as day. Lord, so that you cannot prosper, he says yes, finishes that question, and then says, because you've forsaken the Lord, he's forsaken you. And that same word is the word used for abandon. Beginning of this text, 2 Chronicles 7, when the Lord himself says to the people after they finish the temple and there's all this celebration and there's all this worship and everybody's like, you know, yay, go Lord, we're with you. And the Lord says, now don't abandon me. Now don't abandon me. There's a line of wreckage that awaits if that's the direction that you choose. So this word here, abandon or forsake, and it's the word azab in the Hebrew, to depart or forsake. And there's no question here, again, there's corruption, there's wickedness. Everything else has taken over. And we see this at different points in the scripture. And what does God do? He intervenes. And then what does he do again? Oh man, the people, what are they doing? He intervenes. He continues to do this for them. And sometimes that means that we've got to get to a really bad place, you know, or a really difficult place. And we find ourselves like, hey, there's nowhere else to turn. Where did I go wrong with this thing? Well, God's going to adjust their position as well to kind of show them maybe the way they need to go back. In verse 22, it says, thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness of Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, and had shown him, but killed his son. And when he was dying, he said, may the Lord see and avenge. I'm right there with Zechariah. I'm like, you go, Zechariah. You know, what would I be saying? Like, if people were, you know, killing me, and like, you guys didn't even listen. Lord, do whatever you got to do. But Zechariah, just like his father, even though his father had a much longer reign, I'm sure he may have been thinking like, really? Six kingly reigns? I got one. I got like part of one. And he's like, Lord, you know, I can't. You know, I'm done. I can't do anything else. So you need to take care of this, because their hearts were changed and something needed to happen. Now, again, we look towards this comparison of like the Old and the New Testament. I think about, you know, what we've already looked at in this series on last words. Like, well, what about Stephen? You know, he was like, he was getting stoned, and then he said, hey, Lord, don't hold this against them, right? So what's the comparison, the contrast for us here? Well, Zechariah, under the Old Covenant, under the law, he knows God's going to do something about this, right? He's going like, hey, look, here's what I know. Here's what my father did, and I told the people, and they didn't listen. Lord, what does Scripture tell us? He's a great avenger, right? He's the greatest avenger. Before any of those movies came out, this is what God's been about. And so Zechariah's not saying, like, get him for me, God. He's going, do what you do. Do what you do. Stephen knew, hey, God's going to take care of this, right? Jesus came. Now we got grace. Hey, don't hold it against them, Lord, because I know that they can put their faith and trust in you. Zechariah's like, they're not going to listen, God. They need some serious event to take place. So you take care of this. Well, and that's exactly what he was going to do. And I think about it like this, because maybe the people, they're like, well, where is God? What is he doing? There's nothing taking place right now. Well, God sees everything. I love having little kids at home, you know, among all the exhaustion and frustration and other things that come along with that, because they ask a lot of questions. And so Hannah will ask us this regularly, where is God? And I say, we say, well, you know, he's everywhere. But, you know, she'll say more specific, well, wait a second, is he in heaven? Yes. Where's that? Well, it's in another realm. It's in another place. We'll be there with him when we die. And no, but really, you know, is he here? Is he there? And like, look, he's everywhere. He sees everything. And Zechariah knows this. He's like, you know, he's been with you the whole time. You didn't listen to the priests. You didn't listen to the prophets. You didn't listen to me. Their hearts were changed. And Zechariah says, well, I'm done. Lord, you take care of what needs to be done here. And he does. So their perspective may need to change. When I was reading through this text this week, I had a lot of things that kind of came to my mind. I was writing a lot of stuff down, saying things that even the Lord gave me this morning. I was thinking about a movie. Have you seen Gladiator? It's one of my favorites. Russell Crowe, you know, classic. And there's a phrase that he says to the emperor, the new emperor. Now, this is upon him being this general being kicked from his place of authority, and he is he's put in the Colosseum. He's treated just like another gladiator. And he, of course, is effective in battle against these untrained men, and he finds great success. And the emperor comes down to him, and he wants to have a conversation with him. And there's an interesting exchange that takes place. He comes up to the gladiator figure, character, Maximus, and he asks him to tell him who he is. And he says this to the emperor, who has, by the way, he's killed his family, and he doesn't know he's still alive because he's tried to take him out too. And he says this to the emperor. He says, "My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix legions, loyal servant to the true emperor Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I'll have my vengeance in this life or the next." Pretty stark statement to make. If you ever saw that film, you know, the character's semi-religious and believes in God. And I wonder, as we, you know, consider this account and read this and think about where he was coming from, I can only think about what Zechariah was thinking about. You know, he's like, I had such a short run. And now he's come to this place where the people still haven't listened. And I really believe he's thinking this when he says this, "Lord, get their attention before it's too late." He knows God's going to do his work. And I would caution us as we read this, maybe you're a churchgoer, you're here, and you're like, I've heard this kind of message before. Maybe you're a listener online. There's still time, right? There's still time for things to turn around. Many times I think we sort of, you know, we're listening and we just sort of ride off our lives. It's like, this is just how it's going to be. But God gets our attention at different phases in different ways. And I think this is what he's doing for the people. Fourth fill in the blank, we'll close with this one, is a changed position. So they forsook God, and they suffered both personally and corporately. And in 23, we see there's this swift judgment that takes place. So in 23, it says, "At the end of the year, the army of the Syrians came up against Joash. They came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus." So God's people, they've been doing relatively well up until this point. You know, prosperity. And again, there's that illusion for us too, right? And God's people, they did the same thing. They're like, well, everything's going fine, so I guess we can worship idols. I guess we can, you know, we can do whatever we want. We can pray to whoever we want. And I guess, you know, the one true God doesn't really care anymore. Well, no, the message was clear. Zechariah said, you haven't listened. You've abandoned the Lord. And what's the result? Well, many times we see this throughout the Old Testament. There's a swift judgment. There's a swift God going, hey, I'm not going to continue to allow you to live like this. Maybe you've had that happen in your life. Maybe it was somebody, again, somebody's sharing a good word with you, or maybe your life just got to the point where you're like, I can't do this anymore. I need to be with the Lord. I need to be with his people. I need to make a change. But God's people went through all this. They went through the loss. One of their greatest influencers, someone pointing them to the Lord. They changed their worship. They started loving other things. And then their hearts changed, right? They said, we don't really have any more real affection for God anymore. Why does that matter? Kill Zechariah. And their position changed. So God finally got a strong message across. They lost their placement. But it all goes back to what he said. After they built the temple, after everybody was celebrating, you know, we've all been in those moments before. We're like, man, look, you know, God's done amazing things. Look at where we're at right now. And then almost every time there's this word of caution in the scripture of don't abandon. I know it's good now, but don't abandon the Lord. Because we get in this place where we think like, hey, everything's good. Everything's perfect. You know, God doesn't care about what's going on right now. I'm living my life. It's great. And then we get stopped in our tracks. And we're like, well, God, what's going on? It closes in verse 24. Though the army of the Syrians had come with few men, The Lord delivered into their hand a very great army, because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Thus they executed judgment on Joash. So it didn't matter how many people Israel had. It didn't matter how prosperous they were. They still lost against this smaller Assyrian army, this people group who probably thought, I don't know if we got a shot. But what had they been doing? All the time leading up to that, they had forsaken the Lord. They didn't have his direction. And then even Joash, his own people, after he's wounded in battle, his servants decide to finish the job because of what had been done to Zechariah. And what takes place? Well, Zechariah's words are fulfilled. He's like, you know, Lord, you avenge. You take this on. You get a hold of the people. Maybe you're here today and you're like, well, you know, I've been faithful to the Lord, but maybe there's somebody else in your life you've been praying for. And you're just like, and they're running away from the Lord. I don't know what to do there. And I think sometimes we have to just go, Lord, you know, you need to take care of this. It's not what I can do. It's not what I can figure out. I've been praying for people for many years. I just have to go, Lord, I trust you with whatever the result is. However, you need to get a hold of a people's attention. And that brings me to this last thing. Just what's a change maybe you need to make today? You know, I think about where the people were at, and maybe you're still in that phase of, well, I'm still, you know, listening to and still trusting the Lord. I never got to that place where I didn't, you know, worship the Lord. I didn't care about him anymore. And my heart's been dedicated to him my whole life. I never found myself moving away from the Lord. So what do I do now? Well, this all started for God's people when they lost sight of who God really was, when they stopped listening to those people in their life that was directing them back to God. Jehoiada, the priest, he dies, and they don't listen to Zechariah. And so sometimes it's more subversive, though. Sometimes we allow things to kind of creep in, and we're not going like, well, there's some huge figure in my life that's always pointing me to God, and now they're gone, and now I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's little things that just begin to kind of pull at our attention and drag us away from God, and then we're like, God, I don't know how this happened. Well, the good news is, you know, if you're still breathing, you can still turn back to the Lord, right? You can still say, hey, wherever I'm at right now, I can make those minor changes, whatever it might be. So what do you need to change right now? Well, I don't know, maybe you're here today too, or maybe you're listening online, and you're just like, I've never known what it is to follow God. I mean, to put my whole heart into knowing him. We believe that if you admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus is God's son, that he died on the cross for your sins, and confess with your mouth that he's the Lord of your life, you can be saved. And there's not this question mark anymore of like, who am I following? Like what am I doing? What am I going to do with my life? Because God's got a place for you. And I want to leave us with this one statement. What do you want your last words to be? If it is all about you and the way you want to live your life, then I imagine that won't be very fulfilling in the end. But if you're walking with God, if you're faithful to him, and unlike the people here in this testament, God's people, what do? They abandoned the Lord. They forgot who he was. They stopped listening to people who were directing them to him, and they walked away. So what was that? Changed influence, changed worship, changed hearts, and a changed position. I pray that you wouldn't have to wonder, and maybe when you're thinking like, you know, who's going to settle the bill, not at the restaurant, but when we stand before God, there's an easy way we can resolve that now. We can make that decision that we just talked about, or we can go, hey, where I'm at right now, God, I want to step into this place just a little bit closer to you. Maybe I've allowed something else to creep in and influence me that doesn't need to be there anymore. Maybe I need to listen to the words of a wise friend, a wise parent, another wise influencer, somebody that's trying to speak to us. Let me pray for you, and we'll close. Father, we thank you for the time together. Thank you for your word. We pray that as we think about these accounts, you know, these stories in the Old Testament, the people under the law being directed by a priest, by a prophet, a messenger speaking your word to the people. And God, I pray that as we think about what that looks like for us now under grace, walking with Jesus, being able to walk in freedom, that the influences we have in our lives wouldn't change, that we'd have godly counsel, wise counsel, influence, that our worship for you, God, it wouldn't stray, it wouldn't change. God, we know that can be easy at times. It can be subversive of the things that creep in and pull us away from you, that change our hearts. God, we've saw it. We've seen it today in the text. In Israel's heart, they walked away from you, and it grieved you. God, we know that ultimately you can do miraculous things to get a hold of us, to get our attention, sometimes life-changing situations that have to happen. God, I pray that maybe if there's somebody here today, if there's somebody who's listening, if there's a friend or a family member that this church family's been praying for, I pray that your word would become clear in their lives. God, that wherever they're at right now, maybe it's just being strung out somewhere they don't need to be. Maybe it's being in a relationship they don't need to be in. Maybe it's just being in a place, God, that hasn't been to church in a long time, that hasn't opened your word. God, I pray that you would transform their lives today. And unlike the people here in 2 Chronicles that had to have a change of position, change of power, change of authority, God, I pray that maybe you would just ask us that question today, each and every one of us. And as we walk out of here, we know it's different for every one of us in the room. If we were to ask ourselves, God, what needs to change today? God, are there things that are influencing me that are leading me away from you? We pray that that would not be the case. If it is, God, you would just get a hold of us, maybe again through a friend, through a wise influencer, through somebody who cares about us, through just your word, which you use all the time. I pray that that would be something that would be transformative, that would happen for us today, and that we'd walk away from this place, God, knowing that we belong to you, that we can be with you our whole lives, that we don't have to stray away from you. Thank you that you want to keep us close. I pray that we'd be dedicated to that each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. Love you, church. Hope you have a wonderful week, and if you're meeting with our trustees, we'll be meeting here shortly, but taking some time to let everybody visit together before we leave. Okay?